Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus. Welcome everyone. 2019, and yes, we are tackling issues. Auckland Grey Power is very focused this year, and although we're in recess and our office has been closed over the holidays, we have had drop-in Fridays and they have produced some very interesting results. We've got new members signing up and we've had people coming in saying, well, we'd like to volunteer. And one man has emailed me this week saying he's got a background in IT, and that's exactly what we're looking for, is people with experience like that. Two women came in and they are thinking about working as self-employed contractors in retirement, but they're currently employees about to retire and they don't really know how to transition to the pension and to casualised work, and they've never worked for themselves before. So they're very interested in all the information they need around that, and we've decided to set up a seminar series to help them, because we know that it's happening to a number of people and we think that this is a good service for members. So there'll be announcements forthcoming about all our new programs and projects for the year in due course, but we can't do them all at once. Our first meeting is on the 1st of March at 1 p.m. at the Brockhouse Bay Community Centre, which is 524 Brockhouse Bay Road. And at that meeting, we'll be looking at the latest research into seniors and the ageing process. And we're looking at people from the Brain Research New Zealand and from Retina New Zealand, because we know there's a lot of issues around changing vision and people with low vision or visual acuity problems are cropping up in all different areas of the late 60s and early 70s that can affect driving and can affect pleasure at reading and seeing things and communicating with others. And we've lost our designer short term, we hope, but he's having cataract surgery currently and has been in the lead up to that for about 18 months, struggling with the workload and helping us. And so it's very important that we have a good pool of volunteers, because we don't know when we're going to need to replace somebody, and we need to have succession plans around to cover major key roles. And we also need to be aware, to look out for others, because some of us do notice other people going downhill, but sometimes they haven't realised, or they do realise but they don't want to admit it. So we're going to discuss all these things today as part of a program on volunteering, because I think people don't always realise just how much work goes on in the senior community, and it's voluntary, and how much work goes on in our society that's voluntary. So at this point, I want to pay tribute to Helen Rainey, one of our past committee and recent volunteers who's worked over a number of years for Grey Power, has been a very active member, and in the last 2 to 3 years has been really an unpaid social worker on the end of the phone, ringing people about their membership, finding out how they are, giving them quality advice and information, and being a listening ear. And often people are quite lonely and isolated, and so having Helen spend time with them, listen and hear their concerns, has been a real service that Grey Power's been able to provide, because Helen has committed herself to that. So her passing came as a big shock. She certainly hadn't been quite her bubbly self in the last few months, but she did celebrate with us all at the Grey Power Christmas lunch. And at that stage, we were expecting her to continue as a volunteer for us this year. She chose to have a private service. So we are acknowledging her in a variety of ways. The first one is, of course, today on the radio station. And then we will have a moment's silence in March at our March meeting. We will also list her at the national AGM, and she will be, her name will be read out, and there will be a 2 minute silence there for all the key Grey Power office holders who've died in office in the past 12 months. And although Helen had stepped off the committee, she was still very much an office holder in the sense that she was our main telephone ringer. So we will be acknowledging her there. And I'm looking at perhaps putting an obituary of sorts into the Western Leader. I'm not sure if they do that these days. They've become different in their orientation to community as they're Australian-based, but we'll see what happens. Because Helen had a long history of community work, working for Lionesses, fundraising for the community, and running dinners and various projects to garner support for things that were very much needed in the community in her day. So that was prior to the 10 years that she gave Grey Power. So we've been very fortunate to have her working from home, even though she had decreased vision and some mobility issues. She was a stalwart indeed. So I thought I would play a track from the graduate choir conducted by Terence Maskell, My Spirit Sang All Day. And I thought that would be fitting as a tribute to Helen. So without more ado, we'll switch to that music.
My spirit sang all day.
You enjoyed that music. It was very spiritual and moving, and it was very fitting, I thought, as a tribute to Helen Rainey. Now, my next conversation here is more about volunteering, and Helen was a good example as a volunteer. But when we look at the research that's come through from Statistics New Zealand, the pattern in New Zealand is quite interesting, and it's different from other countries. 86% of people volunteering are in their 30s, 20s and teens. 86% of volunteers are under 30, or under 40, I should say. Whereas when we look at the hours that people volunteer, seniors are doing 50% of the volunteering work, but they're only 14% of the volunteer workforce. So 14% of the volunteer workforce do 50% of the voluntary hours. And that voluntary work is worth economically $8 billion to our New Zealand economy, according to studies that have been done. And Marilyn Waring, the famous woman MP who crossed the floor and caused a general election way back in the day, she was the first person to call for the voluntary sector work to be acknowledged in economic policy and strategy, and called for statistics to be collected on volunteering. And it's something that Grey Power has supported very strongly. There was a question in Statistics New Zealand surveys about volunteering, and there was some talk of taking it out, and Grey Power protested very strongly about this, because they said, well, it was firstly the way seniors were visible in the world and their contribution they made to society, and it was very important in New Zealand that we recognise that. And so doing away with a question that would give us that information was not a bright idea. Now, when we look at volunteering, the range of skills and range of tasks that people get involved in and what they share and what they achieve is just extraordinary. And when you go almost anywhere in New Zealand to use a service, you'll find there's a volunteer at the reception. Whether you go to Motat and ride on a tram, whether you go to hospital and check in to Green Lane, to the clinic, there, whether you go and help somewhere with your grandchildren, then discover that the activities are run by volunteers at the local community centre, and so on. You'll never fail to be amazed at how much is done in New Zealand by volunteers. But only two-thirds of the volunteers working have an actual agreement that covers the expectations around what they should and shouldn't do. And some of them have organisations that have policies for their volunteers, and some actually have a reward program, but some don't. It's an area of growing concern, because the health and safety legislation covers volunteers. And we get to hear from some people who say, oh, well, I'm not volunteering because it's too tough. I don't want to be sued if something goes wrong. And that's one of the reasons why it's important to have policies and agreements for volunteers. And it's something that Grey Power has been working on. Auckland Grey Power in particular has looked at the fact that it's important to have volunteer agreements. It's important to actually monitor how much work people are doing so people are not overworking. Stress can be caused because you haven't got a proper job description, you haven't got clear roles, or conflict happens because some people are trying to do somebody else's role without telling them. It's not a workplace, and so you don't get regulated or performance checked the way ordinary workers do. And yet we're human beings. We need people to tell us we're doing the job properly, or we need feedback on what we need to do better. And we also need, as an organisation, to have a feeling for what our people are experiencing when volunteers help them. So when they come to our office, are they getting the service they expect? Are they being treated right? And of course, volunteers do sometimes end up in situations one-on-one with people. So all kinds of inappropriate language, touching, just people just making you not feel safe, or not supporting you adequately, that can happen. And people under stress, working long hours, are often the sort of perpetrators of that kind of thing. So this all makes sense that we have some clear guidelines, that we look at health and safety, we look at stress, we look at what works best for people, clients, ourselves, and our organisation. And that's what we're in the process of doing at the moment. And I have to be the one to say that my role is probably the most tricky to manage, because there's so much where the buck stops with me, or I have got the institutional knowledge and the overview, and so I have to keep an eye on things or sort things out. But this year is a year for delegation. It's a year for getting more people involved as volunteering, doing more of the tasks, and me doing less of the tasks. So we've realised that having the office, we've got a great opportunity to have more people volunteering, and less decision-making will be directly with me, because more teamwork will happen off the committee, and the committee will have access to volunteers to help them do the jobs they need to do. So all of that's going to be very fruitful and very productive, and we're already seeing some of the benefits, and I'm very excited about it. Actually, I think it's the way we have to go. Greypower's already always been a voluntary organisation. We've never had paid workers. We've always all volunteered. But what has tended to happen is that some people have worked extra hard and done too much of the work, and people have done too much because they've been working from home, off kitchen tables in their own home, and they're not monitored. Nobody's keeping an eye on them. Whereas when people are working out of the office, it's different. It's more transparent and much more shared, and shared ownership of the tasks. So that's the advantage in us having the office in Rockhouse Bay. And on that note, I have to say that for the first time, we have officially applied for funding to assist us with the office, with furniture, with a flag outside to tell people where we're at and that we're open. And we hope, fingers crossed, that we'll be successful and that this will support the membership. Now, we're going to go into a membership drive this year. We're going to really make sure that we do everything possible to promote the name of Auckland Greypower in the marketplace, so people realise that we're there for 50 plus, we're there for people approaching retirement but not yet retired, we're there for people grandparenting grandchildren, we're there for people who are homeless and struggling with housing issues. We're not a social service agency, so we can't produce housing, but we can give people strong information on where to go to get further help. So we're like a seniors CAB and Citizens Advice Bureau, and we work with them too. But since there isn't one in our local area, we can help local people, particularly seniors living around Rockhouse Bay, Avondale, Lynfield, those sort of areas. Further afield, you can go to CABs, but again, there's some things that Greypower has specific experience with. And in particular, we're good at advocating with ACC, with the DHB. And if you have an issue with ACC, you will find that the statistics show 95% of people who actually take up an issue and a challenge and go back and get a second opinion and challenge ACC actually win at their hearing. And that's quite significant and worth thinking about. So we go with people to medical appointments. Somebody wants to have a conversation with their surgeon about their lack of success and rehabilitation and what their expectations haven't been met, what else they are wanting to seek. We will go with them to that appointment. And quite often we don't say anything, we're sitting there, but just the mere fact that we're there and we're psychologically supporting by our presence is powerful enough to help people feel heard and undertake to go through the process instead of just kind of staying silent, going home and muttering under their breath. So our role as advocate is both direct to government and council, and it's also for individuals, not just to change the system or the policies, but to help you negotiate your way through decision making in your life. So we can't do anything without our volunteers. We can't undertake any of those help and support functions. We can't answer phones, do emails, or speak at meetings and tell people about Grey Power. All of this is done by volunteers, including all the work that I do. So it's just crucial that we get our volunteer agreements, our policies, and our people fully supported as they do their work. And so that will be a report that we're going to put out at our AGM, how we've gone about this process and what we've achieved and what we've learned and what our plans for the future are. From time to time on the program, I talk about our mission statement and our aims and objectives. And our mission statement is to be the appropriate voice for all older New Zealanders. And I think that's important because one of the strongest things I hear from people is, well, it's difficult. We are invisible. Nobody wants to know us. Nobody wants to notice us. Nobody wants to listen to us. And so the fact that Grey Power listens and that Grey Power takes action and helps voice the concerns of people who feel they aren't heard, that's our main function and role. And I think it's very important that we keep making that clear to people. Our function is not to lobby the government to change the government. Our function is not to be a political machine. Our function is to help people get heard. And that's why we're on the radio. It's very important that you know that your voice is being heard and there are people listening out there, and it's an example of what we do when we go and talk to people in outside organisations, to council, to government. How we present and what we present on the radio is a reflection of indeed what we do in real life. Now, we have aims and objectives, and there are a number of these on our pamphlet. The first that I want to talk about is to advance, support and protect the welfare and well-being of older people in a sustainable way. And that is our first objective, to advance, support and protect the welfare and well-being of older people in a sustainable way. And I think most of what we do actually comes under this objective. It's about well-being. And when we look about well-being, that's where looking after volunteers comes in. You can't advance and support and protect the well-being of older people and have your volunteers stressed and ill because of their volunteering. So the conversation today about volunteering is actually all part and parcel of understanding the aims and objectives of Grey Power. We do have another aim and objective, which is very important, to affirm and protect the statutory right of every New Zealand resident to a sufficient New Zealand superannuation entitlement. That means your pension should be an adequate pension to live on. Now, that's one that we've always had battles about from time to time. At the moment, the battle is Section 70, where if somebody is losing their pension, their New Zealand pension is being reduced or disappeared entirely because of the pension that's received by their partner, which is an overseas pension, and it's deducted from the New Zealand pension. And unfortunately, the total income of a couple is aggregated and then pension decisions made on that. So somebody who marries at 50 and marries someone from another country but doesn't know that person has a pension in that country because they're working still and it hasn't come up as a discussion point, they may be very liable once they retire to be losing their pension when they've worked all their life and expected to receive it. So this is an area of grave concern because it does push people into poverty. It pushes people into having no money of their own, no separate money, and that's not good for a woman in a marriage situation. But it's not good for a man either. So no man wants to be dependent on his wife's money. It's not good for the self-esteem of anyone. So therefore, we need to work on this Section 70. And we had heard from both Labor and the Greens before they became the government that they would look into Section 70. New Zealand First admits its problems with Section 70. So there is an awareness, but now we're looking for a commitment to take some action. Grave Power's petition on this, I've talked about it on air before. It's still circulating. We have copies in our office and we need to get them signed and in by the 31st of January. So I'll make sure that there's copies in libraries this week. And if anybody wants to ring us at the office Friday morning from 10:30 to 1, the number is 626-0895. I'll repeat that number again, 626-0895. And it's important to be able to look out for friends, look out for people who might need our help. So we can volunteer, not just officially at Grey Power, but we can volunteer unofficially. And there's lots of ways where you might see someone struggling just loading their car up with the shopping, or you might see someone who can't carry bags across a busy road, or someone who just doesn't know some basic information. They're looking lost, or they're muttering they don't know how to work a gadget, a phone, or they've lost their key or got some other practical problem. You know, just when you think about it, it doesn't take much to help. It doesn't take much to step up. And it's called paying forward, because when you do that helping, you never know what sort of help you're going to need one day. You've already paid it forward. Someone will be around to help you. It works like that. It's worth trying if you haven't done so before. So rather than being feisty and completely independent, it can be very useful to think about, well, one day I might need the help, and so I might start today and just pay it forward. Now, I'm going to play a track to finish on, Up Where We Belong, and I quite like to have you just enjoy this and realise that the only way from here is up, and we all have the ability to be positive and look after our well-being. So this is Joe Cocker.
she used to be. Live their lives looking behind.